This is the Meet Me at the Spot podcast, where we meet at the intersections of sexual health and the world around us. Each week, we will discuss sexual health current events, politics, social justice issues, and more. Get excited because it is time to start the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Meet Me at the Spot. I'm your host, Holly, and this week I am delighted to share the amazing conversation I had with Bree, otherwise known as That Sex Lady on social media. Bree has been working as an educator for the last 12 years all over the world, and specifically has been working in sexual health for the last 5 years. She currently works at Planned Parenthood as a sex educator by day, but uses her evenings to help educate folks who are premenopausal, postmenopausal, and everyone in between about their sexual health. Bree uses her vibrator wands, lube, and mental health background to help folks understand and learn how sexual and reproductive health care can be life-saving. Make sure to follow her, and I'll add it to the show notes. Her handle on Instagram and TikTok is @thatsexlady. She is an absolute delight, and I am very convinced that we are twins just on opposite sides of the country. So without further ado, let me jump in to the interview with Bree. Welcome, Bree, to the podcast. So excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and just talk shop.
Yes, absolutely. So before we get into all the good stuff, take a second, introduce yourself to the listeners, who you are, a little bit about you.
Okay. My name is Bree. I go by she, her pronouns. I'm a sex educator. Whatever that means a lot of different things. I do have a full-time paid job in this career. I do get to work at Planned Parenthood as the community engagement and education manager, where I work with the community and teach a variety of sexual health and reproductive health care topics. And I do that, and then by day, and then by night, I do sex ed, you know, I mean, like teach sex ed, and go in a little bit more, of the nitty gritty. And again, I'm working mostly with adults, I'd say, in a lot of different ways, basically just teaching, I think, fundamentals, basics, and also helping people advocate for their bodies a lot too, I'm finding, being curious, being, with their partners, with themselves, you know, all of that jazz. I do a lot of that. And then of course, social media is just like a fun platform. I am very small. I have no time to really do it. So that's, you know, like I'm a one person team, so you get what you get, and, you don't get upset. But yeah, that's basically what I do.
Okay, and tell everybody what you go by on social media.
I have an Instagram and TikTok account, and it's called That Sex Lady. So if you forget and you're like, wait, what was her name? Oh, That Sex Lady. That's my account. And a lot of the stuff I put on there is often inspired by conversations I have in my classrooms or with clients or friends or family. So it's really like I said, it's whenever I feel inspired, I post. I don't have a schedule. I don't have time to do that, unfortunately. Sometimes I do like demos of toys that people have sent me or things, which is fun. Or talk about relationships or talk about, taboo topics. All of what we do is taboo, I guess you could say. Or like current stuff in the media that's happening. Mm-hmm. So you know, whatever floats my boat, I'll talk about it and reference it in reference to sexual and reproductive health.
Yeah, I love it. I was scrolling TikTok and came across your video. I'm like, that sex lady, I'm that sex educator. Wait, we have to be friends.
Yeah.
We have to be friends with each other.
Yeah.
We're one and the same. And so I immediately was like, follow. First I checked out, made sure, like, you know, you're anyone who puts like sex in their, you know, in their name on social media, probably good people.
No, it's so true. I think it's such a small world, our little world of sex educators, counselors, therapists, intimacy coaches, whatever we call ourselves. Yeah, it only takes me like a little brief little like, okay, let me just see. And then I'm like, oh yeah, follow. And I don't care if they have 50 followers or 50,000. I'm like, all right, you're my people. Let's encourage each other. So 100%. And I love when people follow me and I'm like right back at you. Or if I find somebody else, it's great.
Yeah, no, that's my favorite too. It's so, it's such a small little world, but I feel like on social media, I'm finding so many awesome people who do similar work, and or like really like adjacent work to what we do. And yeah, that makes me so excited. Because like you said, adults need this, but like there's a lot of teens who aren't getting this in their school or in their, you know, community centers or after school programs, whatever it may be. And what a great way to have, you know, educators on TikTok making videos, however corny we look on the internet.
Exactly. No, I don't know about you, but I know I have found once I've gotten deeper into this field, there is so many different directions we could take our education or counseling. You can specialize, like, you know, there's people who specialize just in herpes, who I have gotten to know, and folks who do just consent, like that's all they educate on. And people who work with, you know, like even how they work is very different. Podcast wise, like all they do is podcast stuff and find research. People do research. There's just such a huge need and gap. Yeah, it's, I'm finding there's room and space and we need more folks to join in. So, yeah, I love when I teach my class. It just happened the other night. I was at a university and I had a student come up and was like, I want to do this. And I was like, great. We need to find what you want to do, like, and play around a little bit, see what your niche is going to be, or generalize and start doing it.
Isn't that literally the best feeling when someone comes up to you and is like, I want to do what you do. And it's like, yeah, I want you to do it too. It's really fun. My job's so cool.
let me ask you a question.
Yes.
When did you realize you A, wanted to be a sex educator, or B, when you saw someone doing this and you thought I could do that?
Yeah, my journey is so fun. I actually, did my undergrad and my first master's in education. So I was a health teacher for a long time. And then I started like losing the joy there and started applying for jobs working in public health or community health, really anything. I actually got a job at like a small birth control clinic and as a community educator, a sex educator going out into schools and things like that. Doing work and talking about birth control and STIs and all the good stuff around sexual health, and realized like I loved it. Like literally in the interview, they're like talking about handing out condoms, like out like in the community and how comfortable I would feel. I was like, wait, that's part of this job? That's so cool. And it was always fun to just hand out condoms to people.
Yeah.
So, So it just became a love of mine. And then in 2016, late November, early December, right after the election, I was at a conference and people were talking about like a degree in public health and public policy. And I was like, that's a thing you can do. And so I went back to school, got my master's in public health. And now I work in HIV prevention education. But literally just got asked to do a project on birth control and STIs. And I'm like, back to my first love.
You mentioned something that I never thought of until being in this space. You know, sexual and reproductive health care is a public health, you know, and I wish I saw it more. And I wish, like, it's there. You know, obviously everyone wants there to be more of their profession. And maybe that's my own bias. But I was like, I really wish I would have, like, if you look up like a master's in sexual health, there's maybe two universities in the entire United States. There's way in Pennsylvania and then San Francisco. And then there's all of these other like small institutions that are doing education or certifications. But it's like, no, it needs to be in a public health sector. Like we need to be offering this in public health universities and colleges. And I know that they touch on it, like what you're doing is exactly it. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're needed in these public health spaces. So I do mention that to a lot of students too, if they're not sure which route. And I'm like, go the public health route, you know, and kind of carve your own way. But yeah, I love hearing how, like, I love asking that of all of us because we all ended up here very randomly. Or in a very cool journey or somewhat. Cause again, like no one in their second grade, I wish one day there will be grade is like, I'm going to be a sex educator, right? Like we all ended up here somehow like clunkily or intentionally, years later. But, I love that. That's very cool. Thanks for your work.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. No, thank you. And I love that you mentioned about like public health programs. And so I made it my mission for every class and every assignment as much as I could was to take whatever class I was taking and apply that with sexual health. And so I there were courses I got real creative.
Yeah, that's cool. I had
one course where the professor said for the final, for the final project, he was like, you can make a PowerPoint presentation and present it on any issue going on. And I was like, STI rates in communities 65 and older. That's what I am doing my project on.
Yeah.
And he was not prepared for that.
Oh, I love that. Nobody knows about that. I mean, that's always a fun fact. And I'm like, listen, there, it's like being in college dorm again. Like think about it. So,
but with like, but with like no resources, right? Cause like college dorms, like
education.
And like college dorms, like you can get condoms, you can get testing at a lot of campuses and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's, that's what, one of my fun facts too. I'm like, do you want to know the age group that has really high STI rate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senior sexuality is fascinating.
My secret dream job one day is to teach sex ed in like senior centers, like nursing homes or like living communities and things like that. That would be a dream job for me. I would love that.
You know, I don't know. Something I've experienced is because of the lack of understanding or knowledge around this is when I try to present that to folks or like maybe seniors, they can't understand why. Like, you know, they'll be like, no, I'm not having sex anymore. I don't need that anymore. And they just like make general motion to my table. And it's very interesting to me again. I was like, well, you know, they look young still, you know, like, so you're not doing anything, like no, you know, physical activity, no protection needed, no, like, you know, like I have follow-up questions for them and then they're like fumbling around and, you know, it's like they have their own, some of them place their own, you know, like, oh no, we're done with that. And they're like, oh, like it doesn't have to be done, you know? So like trying to get your foot in the door and convince people, like, hey, just because you're 60 doesn't mean you're done, or your partner passed away, or, you know, like there's so many different reasons why people are like, oh, I had a stroke, you know, like I can't do that anymore. Like, no, there are so many tools and resources, workarounds. I'm with you. I love senior sexuality. I am all for it. And anytime I get to talk about it or like demonstrate some toys, oh, I love it.
Yes. I have talked very briefly on this podcast and even more briefly on my TikTok about my time working for a little side hustle that rhymes with schmear schmomance. I had a little stint because I was in a similar boat as you. Like, I would talk to youth all day and frowned upon to really highlight pleasure with youth. You know, sneak it in here and there, you know, sneak in those conversations. But you got to be tricky. But I think that's such an important part of sex is that it should be pleasurable. It should be fun. And so getting to do that on the side was like super, super fun. Now, you know, I was very aware going into it as a pyramid scheme. Like I understood what I was signing up for. I wasn't thinking I was climbing my way up to the top, be girl boss, like none of that. And loved the products, loved my time there. It's just, I just didn't have time to do it. I was like, I am in school. I work a full-time job and a part-time job. And I'm trying to do this. I don't have time to like go host parties. And so it just became a lot. But talking about pleasure, like we don't talk about it, and it leads to that like internal like shame and that internal stigma that you're talking about, especially with older folks who grew up like never talking about it, like ever, especially like in school.
No. Okay. So here's another, I have another question for you because I have a lot of empathy. So I love seeing what other folks think about it. With pleasure, because a lot of curriculums, sex ed curriculums, like even in, like I'm in California, which is pretty progressive, with curriculum, there isn't a lot of mention of pleasure or like masturbation in a lot of our talk, or how we talk about relationships. There isn't a lot of discussion around desire or pleasure or lust. Like, what are the differences? And it's just so nuanced. We just don't mention it. I also feel like this is my own, my soapbox, they don't give us enough time. They go, come teach sex ed and we'll give you 50 minutes. And I'm like, cool. I have 15 different topics, and each an hour. So, you know, like, how do I, but, with pleasure, I even myself, I'll be very honest. It was a very interesting, how do I teach it? Like I'm almost uncomfortable teaching about pleasure to a group of youth or, you know, high schoolers or, you know, there's, cause I have my own bias, right, of how I was brought up. And as sex educators, I think we always continually have to do work, and any good therapist will also be seeing their own therapist. And I feel the same, like we should constantly be checking in with our own biases. I'm curious, how do you feel? You know, why is it that we still haven't put in a lot of pleasure in these conversations, or like maybe some of us are just not stepping up enough in pleasure? It's like a battle we're not ready to tackle yet. Why do you think that is?
Oh, you are going to have to wait to tune in next week to find out my thoughts on this question, as well as a continuation of my conversation with Bree. As we wrap up this week's episode, don't forget to follow me on social media at Meet Me at the Spot Podcast on Instagram, at ThatSexEducator over on TikTok. For all ways to support the show, please visit the show notes. If you have a minute, would love if you could follow the podcast on whatever streaming platform you're using and also leave a review. This helps the podcast get seen by so many more people. So don't be greedy. Let's all share. There's enough of me to go around. Until next week, bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Make sure you're following me on Instagram, Meet Me at the Spot Podcast. Do you love the show and want to support the podcast? Well, check out the show notes for all the ways to support the work I do. All links related to today's episode can also be found in the show notes. Help others find this podcast by following me and leaving a review, and also spread the word on social media. See you next week when we meet at the spot.